Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm thrilled you've joined us today on this Monday as we start a whole new series by Derek Prince, teaching us on one of the most important topics really that we could be studying this week, and that is the importance of Israel. You know, it's interesting. Today is Monday the 30th. Tomorrow is what we normally refer to as Halloween, but it's also, in the history of the church, Reformation Day. It's the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg church door. Now, you may not know that story, but it was the spark of the Reformation. And it's a fascinating time, of course, when the Word of God was unchained and the doctrines of salvation by faith were reproclaimed in the church. But there's also an interesting tie-in regarding Israel, because as wonderful a man as Martin Luther was, he also later in his life encouraged what we know as anti-Semitism in the church. It's one of those great conundrums, one of those great mysteries in the history of Christianity, that Martin Luther, the great reformer, also encouraged a negative attitude towards the Jews. Well, this is one of the great forces that Derek Prince, I believe, was raised up to help us combat, this misunderstanding regarding Israel. You know, for many people, Israel is just an irritating little nation inserted into the Middle East in 1948, and really it's been a source of trouble ever since. Well, Derek helps us understand today that Israel really is critical to God's work in the earth, that Israel is a product of prophecy and God's carefully weaving the tapestry of redemption throughout history. It's something we need to understand. It's a nation we need to pray for. It's a people we need to support. And Derek's going to help us understand all of that today. Now, the recording you're about to hear is a little bit fuzzy. It was recorded in some unusual circumstances some years ago, so you may have to strain just a little bit, but the material is so good, we want you to get it. So get a piece of paper, get a pen, and take some notes now as we turn in our understanding from sort of the traditional, maybe even just tolerant understanding of Israel, and towards a more supportive, prayerful understanding of Israel, an understanding of Israel that comes organically out of the Word of God. Let's listen now as Derek talks to us about why Israel is important.
With due respect for the people who said, don't confuse me with the facts, I want to give you a series of facts about Israel. First of all, Israel is the name for the nation descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And later on, they were called Jews. So really, Jews and Israel today are more or less synonymous. They were not always. The name Israel or Israelite occurs in the Old Testament more than 2,500 times. Now, if the name England or Scotland or Wales or Ireland had occurred that many times in the Bible, we would all be quite sure that you really couldn't fully understand the Bible unless you knew something about England or Scotland or Wales or Ireland. The same applies to Israel. You cannot fully understand the Bible unless you know something about Israel. And if you're confused about Israel, you're confused about the Bible. In the New Testament, it occurs 79 times. My book lists 77. But somebody went through it with a computer, and one of those things you scan it, and found two more that I'd missed. But it doesn't change the conclusion. And it never, never describes the church. Let me say that again. The name Israel occurs 79 times in the New Testament, and never once is a description of the church. The word Jew occurs 84 times in the Old Testament and 192 times in the New Testament. On the other hand, the word a Christian occurs only 3 times in the New Testament. I want to point out, first of all, the uniqueness of Israel stated by David in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 21. David is praying to the Lord. And he says, who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt? David is saying there is no other nation whom God set out to redeem as a nation from other nations. This is an unchallengeable fact. It's there. It's unique. And then there's a remarkable word in Revelation 5, verse 5, which in a way is so exciting that it almost takes my breath away, if you can understand why I'm excited. This is a scene in heaven when John is there and a scroll is presented and it's sealed with seven seals, and no one is able to take the scroll and open the seals. And John the Revelator began to weep bitterly because he so longed to know what was inside that sealed scroll. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." I don't want to go into the details of the scroll, but I just want to point out to you that title. Who was the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. Now, this was many years after his death and resurrection, and he's still called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is from Judah that the word Jew comes. I want to point out to you that the identification of Jesus with the Jewish people was not temporary. It was not just for the few years of his earthly life and ministry, but it was eternal. Many years later, in heaven, after his resurrection and ascension, he is still called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Not only was he a Jew, he still is a Jew. To me, that's breathtaking. That's astounding. And you see, we need to remember there is a lion up there, and he's a Jew. And one day, that lion is going to roar. And woe to the enemies of the Jewish people when the Lion of the tribe of Judah roars. I wouldn't want to be against him for anything at that time. And one final, I think perhaps the most important statement made about the Jewish people is in John chapter 4 and verse 22, where Jesus is speaking to a Samaritan woman. And he says to this Samaritan woman, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." That's five words, isn't it? Salvation is of the Jews. Five breathtaking words. Where did salvation come from? From the Jews. No Jews, no salvation. Now, I am Gentile, but I want to tell you that my whole spiritual inheritance, every spiritual blessing I've ever enjoyed, I owe to one people, the Jewish people. Without them, no patriarchs, no prophets, no apostles, no Bible, and no Savior. How much salvation would you or I have without those five things? Salvation is of the Jews. We better remember that, dear brothers and sisters. We better conduct ourselves accordingly. Yeah. Every one of us who's blessed in Jesus Christ owes all our spiritual blessings to one nation, the Jewish people.
What wonderful teaching this is by Derek Prince. You know, I knew that Jesus was Jewish. I knew he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But it puts it in perspective for me to know that Israel is mentioned 79 times in the New Testament. And never is that a code word for the church, that Israel is Israel. Fascinating material. There's more ahead as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The time is almost here, when all will witness the startling, cataclysmic conclusion of the world. What will trigger the final countdown to the return of Jesus Christ? In his timely book, Promised Land, Derek Prince reveals God's purpose for the nation of Israel and its connection with end-time events. In it, you'll discover why entire nations will be judged according to their response to God's chosen people, Israel. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Promised Land for only $14.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Learn the truth about that point of blessing where your destiny and Israel's future intersect. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. We are involved now in a teaching by Derek Prince on the importance of Israel, and could it be more timely? I don't think so. Look at what's happening in the world. Look at what's happening in the Middle East. Look at the threats that leaders of nations, Arab nations in the Middle East, are making. This is vital teaching. Let's listen now as Derek Prince talks to us about the importance of Israel.
I'm going to point out to you another unique fact about the Jewish people, absolutely unique. Their whole history was foretold in prophecy. That's not true of any other nation. But the whole history of the Jewish people from Abraham onward was foretold in prophecy in the Bible. And I'm going to give you altogether 16 stages in the outworking of prophecy, which are predicted concerning Israel. Number one, and I could give you a scriptural reference for each one of these, but time would not really permit. The first three were all given to Abraham. The prediction of their enslavement in Egypt, number one. Number two, their deliverance with wealth from Egypt. And remember, Abraham was told they'll come out with much possession. They'd been slaves. And in one night, one period of 24 hours, they became wealthy with the wealth of the Egyptians. A remarkable fact, predicted before. Their possession of the land of Canaan was predicted to Abraham. And then we go on to Deuteronomy and other books. Number four, that they would turn to idolatry in the promised land was clearly predicted and certainly fulfilled. Number five, that God would establish a center of worship in Jerusalem. Number six, that the northern kingdom called Israel would be carried into captivity in Assyria. Number seven, that the southern kingdom called Judah would be carried into captivity in Babylon. Number eight, the destruction of the first temple, that was the one built by Solomon, was predicted in detail. Number nine, the return of a small remnant from Babylon was predicted. Number 10, the destruction of the second temple, the one that stood in the days of Jesus, he himself predicted it in detail. All right, number 11, it was predicted in Leviticus 26 and elsewhere, many other places, that because of disobedience, they would be scattered among the nations, the Gentiles. Number 12, that they would endure persecution and oppression among the Gentiles. That certainly has been fulfilled. Number 13, that they would be regathered from all nations. That is being fulfilled before our eyes. And it's important that we see that. So 13 of the predictions have been fulfilled. There remain three more, as I see it, that are still to be fulfilled. The gathering of all nations against Jerusalem in war, number 14. Number 15, the supernatural revelation of Messiah to his people. And number 16, the coming of Messiah in glory and power to establish his kingdom on earth. So out of 16 predictions, 13 have been fulfilled. According to my mathematics, and I'm not really strong in mathematics, but I think that's about 81%. Now, I would have to say, I don't think that we're crazy fanatics if we believe that the remaining three predictions will be fulfilled. people look at us strangely, as if we believe strange things. But to me, and I was a professional logician before I became a preacher, to me it's logical to believe that if a book can predict 13 events in advance with correctness and accuracy, any other predictions that book gives should be taken pretty seriously.
You know, as much as we all read the Bible, sometimes it helps us to have these numbers and these numerical interpretations given to us. I did not know there are 16 prophecies about Israel and that 13 have been fulfilled. There's more ahead as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
On more than one occasion, Derek expressed his strong desire that this ministry continue and grow beyond his homegoing, right up until the return of our Lord. Few things meant more to him than the knowledge that the truths he spent his life proclaiming would continue to be proclaimed among the nations. He poured himself out to reach the unreached, to teach the untaught, and to see God's people grow to maturity in the world. And so will we. At Derek Prince Ministries, we're honoring Derek's life and his wishes by carrying on. And as a dear friend of this ministry, we're hoping you will do the same. Why? Because the truth is, the passing of Derek Prince didn't mark an end for Derek Prince Ministries. It marked a new beginning. But to succeed, we will need your help. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can. And be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently to keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful. The Bible is to be trusted. I haven't put my faith in something that's unreal and insubstantial. I've put my faith in something that will stand every test. The faithfulness of God, the love of God, and the truth of Scripture.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're listening to a teaching today by Derek Prince on why Israel is important. Derek's bringing incredible clarity. Let's listen now as he talks to us about why Israel is important.
Now, I want to come to possibly the most controversial topic in contemporary politics, which is God's plan for the land of Israel, mistakenly called Palestine. Let me point out to you that is a totally contrary to biblical truth to call it Palestine. Palestine means the land of the Philistines. And it was never used until the Romans had conquered and destroyed the first temple. Then they used the name Palestine to assert that the Jews no longer had any claim to it. I mean, it was a deliberately chosen anti-Semitic word. But let's talk about God's plan for that land. Biblically, it was called the land of Canaan. And in the New Testament, do you know what it's called? The land of Israel. In the first two chapters of Matthew, it's twice called the land of Israel. That's the biblical name for that land. Now let's see what God had to say about it. In Genesis 17, verses 7 and 8, God appeared to Abraham, and he made a covenant with him. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God of you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So, there's no disputist about whom the land belongs if you believe the Bible. Whether Israel are in it or outside of it, it makes no difference. God has given it to them as an everlasting possession. And then there's a remarkable passage in Psalm 105, one of the most remarkable passages, I think, in the Bible. It's interesting in my Bible because I get to the bottom of the page and then I have to turn over to find out what the next verse says. And it's a remarkable turning point. This is a statement about God's plan for a land. And in it are used more words describing God's total commitment than any other passage in the Bible I know of. Psalm 105, verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. In other words, what God decrees applies in every part of the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. In those four verses, God uses more words to describe his total commitment to something than anywhere else in the Bible. You cannot find another passage in the Bible. Let me just list the words. Covenant, word, command, oath, statute, and everlasting covenant. Now the interesting thing is, to what is God making such a total, authoritative, unreserved commitment? And I have to turn my Bible, because that's the turn the page in my Bible, because I got to the bottom of the page. And my breath is taken away when I discover what it is. Saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. So all those words, covenant, word, command, oath, statute, and everlasting covenant, are all applied to God's giving all the land of Canaan. Now, I think anybody who goes against that is going against God. And then in Jeremiah chapter 30, we have the prediction, one out of countless passages, predicting the return of the Jewish people to their inheritance in the last days. Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning at verse 3. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And then God gives a warning. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? That's a description of tremendous terror, oppression, opposition. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So the return of the Jewish people to their land is not immediately going to produce peace. On the contrary, it's going to climax in a time of trouble such as they've never experienced before. But the promise is they shall be saved out of it. Not from it, but out of it.
God has a thing for the Jews, as a rabbi once told me. God has a passion for the Jews. And if we're going to be passionate for him, we have to be passionate about what he is doing with Israel in our time. This is such a fascinating subject. Now listen, if you miss any of this teaching at any point in the coming days, you can simply log on to derekprince.org. You'll find the whole series there. You'll find other resources, books available. You'll find out more about who this guy Derek Prince is. Very important that you stay connected with us through the website. Now, we'll be talking about this more tomorrow. There'll be more teaching from Derek. So you be sure to join us again right here as we learn more about why Israel is important. Now listen, for all of us at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Promised Land, for only $11.95, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. It's because of the faithful financial support of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And you can give securely online at derekprince.org. Thank you for standing with us. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information on anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.